Wow. Good job, music today. Wasn't it great? Both services, we had the young hippie leading us, and he did a good job. Man, he did a good job in both services. And I appreciate so much those who walked the second mile. Now, y'all do know that today is Valentine's Day, right? So you bought something, didn't you, guys? You didn't mess up. If you messed up, go by Walgreens because everything's half price and you can pick it up. I was going to sing for you what I sang to my wife this morning, I'll Always Love You. And she suggested I shouldn't sing that to anybody. And so that's the deal. I don't know if you're enjoying this, but I had such a great time being with y'all. Y'all are a very gracious people. You're very kind. You heard that announcement about if it's an overflow crowd, you want to spread out, you can go to the fellowship hall. I'm excited about that because John and Josh and the staff are going to buy donuts to go into fellowship hall in the 8:30 service. So if you want fresh donuts and in fact, I'm thinking about preaching down there because they're going to have donuts down there. It's always good to see you guys and to be a part of where God is doing things in your life. And I am thrilled about this opportunity to share with you this morning what is a fairly difficult topic to deal with, one we don't do much. And so I'm looking forward to sharing with you. If you have your Bibles, if you'll just open them to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, we're going to get there in just a moment. And we're going to talk about the fact that this is not a video game. You know, I coached high school football for a number of years, and my grandson was a sophomore in high school playing on a team in Trenton, Tennessee that won the state championship in football. There's nothing more dangerous than a kid who wins a state championship. All he did was hold free throws, free kicks, and anyway, he was a backup quarterback, never played much, but he became a fan of EA college football video game. Y'all ever seen that thing? Now, when I grew up, and some of y'all are old enough to remember this, some of you aren't, but when I grew up, I played a game, a board game, but we would put players on the little metal. Y'all remember that? It would vibrate and the players would run. Anybody beside me do that? If you find one, in a garage sale somewhere, those things are worth several hundred dollars now. So I wish I'd have kept mine, but anyway, I went to see my grandson, and he said, "Pops, I want to play you in football." And I thought, that's not going to be very fair, because I'm such a great coach, and I've been around this football all my life. But I played him. Now, bear in mind, I had coached in high school, and I'd been around Florida State and South Carolina and Mississippi State, and I'd been around football. But I played Daniel and got a blessing. I was clueless. So you see, you drafted your team. Well, he'd been playing for several years, so he drafted his team. And he knew about calling plays and what defenses wouldn't work against certain offensive plays. And he chose his team, he chose his weapons, and he literally destroyed me playing that video game. And he never has forgotten that. And I keep telling him that one day I'll learn how to use a computer and I'll beat him, but he wore me out. Well, I got to thinking when I started working on this message that sometimes spiritual warfare is kind of ignored. We kind of see it as a video game. It's just like, it's no big deal. And hear me, we are in a battle. And whether we'd ever admit that or not, we're in a warfare that is dark and diabolical and deadly and dirty, and it's being fought all over our country and all over the world. Sabotage, subversion, innuendo, sniping. It is a deadly, deadly war. It's a war between light and darkness, between good and evil, between heaven and hell, between Christ and Satan. And whether you realize it or not, you're part of that war. If indeed the grace we have talked about the last several weeks is true, you cannot afford to be ignorant about what's going to happen once you get serious about that grace. You're going to be caught in a crossfire. Satan is coming after you. When you weren't a Christian and when you weren't doing anything in the church, he ain't going to bother you. But the once you get serious about your faith, hang on to your hat. Because he didn't want you to win. He didn't want you to be victorious. I always tell people, understand this. On Calvary, Jesus won the war. Okay? So all you're dealing with in this lifetime is a twisting of his old tail. He's having stuff to make you feel that you can't win, that you're not that good, that really you can't be used by God. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Open your Bibles to the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and let's look at that rather long passage about the spiritual warfare. Paul is writing. He's finishing his book to the Ephesians, and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." We're going to talk about this war. Before we talk about it, let's talk to him. Would you bow your heads and hearts? And let's pray together. Father, this passage makes it quite clear who the enemy is and what our weaponry is. It reminds us that we're not in a struggle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of a dark world. Help us this morning to equip ourselves, to gather the weapons and use them constantly and grow in them daily. You know the stuff we deal with and how tough it is. So give us growth areas that we might honor you. Above all, we hear this morning, may we hear the quiet shuffling of sandal feet as you teach us how to fight in this war. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've kind of made the devil like a video character. He's a laughable character. We think of him as some medieval superstition. Today, we make light of the devil. We name football teams devils and basketball teams devils and demons. We talk about devil ham and devil's food cake, and it's all sort of a joke. We put him in a red suit with a pitchfork, and he's kind of a character off of a video game. Our sophisticated age today makes the idea of a real and personal devil more or less laughable. But you hear me well this morning. He is very real. The Bible never speaks of him as some kind of figment of the imagination. It's always been his purpose to pull the veil of darkness over his kingdom and either have his very existence denied for a while. He really doesn't want that. He wants worship. He will only use that disguise for so long before he removes the veil and says, "Bow down and worship me." It's important that we understand the devil is in this warfare because he doesn't want victorious Christians. He doesn't want at peace Christians. He doesn't want Christians who are walking in victory. He wants you to feel like you're not winning. And so what he's going to do is attack you on every front. And let me quickly point out to you, he is the enemy. Let me point out to you the weapons that you have. Unfortunately, many times we don't pay attention to this. We just kind of run through it and read it, but this stuff is so solid it'll make you jump. Listen to what he says. We need not only to recognize our enemy, we need to prepare for the battle. If you don't prepare for the battle, you're going to lose it. If you don't understand you're in a fight, then you won't have much victory in your life. Here's what the scripture says. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth." First of all, you put on the girdle of truth, which is a believer's integrity. Truth stands for integrity. You see, a soldier in that day wore a tunic, and he had a leather belt that was like a girdle. You sometimes see motorcycle guys wearing big old belts like that, or weightlifters who have that big old belt in line. Now, for me, that holds my gut in, but for weightlifters, it holds your loins in. It keeps everything preserved. It gives you a base to work with. And on that belt, he had his weapons of warfare. His dagger would be there. His sword might be there because he didn't want his long flowing robe to get in the way of his weapons. Integrity. That's what it is. Integrity that holds everything else together. Truth and integrity are synonymous. You're to believe the truth. You are to know the truth. You're to love the truth. You're to tell the truth. You're to live the truth. You're to preach the truth. And if you don't, your life is going to come apart. We deceive ourselves quite often by lying to ourselves and lying to others. I don't want a show of hand, but you remember the first time that you lied to your parents about something you did that you knew wasn't right? You remember that? You lost your integrity. And one lie led to another lie, and one lie led to the next lie. But hear me, Jesus is the truth. Satan's attack is untrue. His attack is a lie. His attack on you is to bring a lack of integrity in your life. Are you wearing the girdle of truth, or are you living a lie? If you're not wearing truth, if you don't have the girdle of truth, if you don't have integrity in your life in the big things and in the small thing, you're going to lose the battle. It is truth that holds everything together. And without truth, everything falls apart. I don't know about you, and I don't understand all that's going on politically, but I'm so tired of people lying to me I could spit. You don't know who to believe anymore. Integrity is not a part of who we are. Here's the second part of the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness is a believer's purity. Now listen close. Not only do you need integrity and truth, but you need purity. There needs to be no unconfessed sin in your life. There needs to be nothing that dishonors God in your life. You have got to be pure. The breastplate in the early days was made of woven chain, and sometimes it would cover his heart and his lungs, it would cover his intestines and his vital organs. It would be there, and without that breastplate, of course, the sword could come through. Any arrow might come through. The soldier had to wear a breastplate to protect himself, and Christians need to do the same. What is righteousness? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The enemy wants to attack you with lies. He wants to attack you with impurity. He wants to get you to read filthy magazines and go to filthy movies and listen to filthy music. And then come to church on Sunday morning and act like you're normal. He wants to get that into your heart, into your mind. He wants to get into you some dirty, crooked business deals. And you'll say, well, it's no big sin. That's right. It's just a crack in the armor. But Satan knows where the crack is. And once he gets in, hang on. I quite often speak to football teams, and I have a speech I give called The Three Biggest Lies That College Football Players Believe. And the third one is, and I'll give you the whole speech, but the third lie is that you believe that one time won't make any difference. Do you know how stupid that is? You can make one mistake and ruin you for life. Put on now, not only integrity, but purity, and keep your heart with diligence. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm asking you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Is your heart pure? They say that 2 out of 3 men watch pornography on the internet. Look to your right and your left, and it's not them. Guess who it is? You. The devil wants you to watch all that trash you can. It will ruin your marriage. It will be a kink in your armor that will last for a long time. Thirdly, you're to put on shoes of peace. Look at verse 15. And your feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The believer's integrity and the believer's purity and are good, but the tranquility of a believer is what you stand on. You have peace. The gospel of peace. A Roman soldier needed some shoes to fight with. A Roman soldier would have hobnails on the bottom of his shoes, very much like football cleats. Because when you're fighting, you need a place to stand, and you need to have good footing. Paul's going to tell us to stand, and therefore your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. When you have peace, you stand there, and whatever's going to happen, whatever's going to come down the pike, you're going to be all right because you have the peace of God in your heart. Billy Graham has a tract they use in their crusades called Peace with God. I use it for years in witnessing because most people I meet don't have much peace in their life. They're so miserable, they try to hide everything. But when you get involved with Jesus and you understand He's with you wherever you go, I said this in 8:30 service, it's not good grammar, but it's great theology. Ain't no place you can get to, He ain't gonna be there. You hear me? There's nothing you're gonna get yourself in that God's not gonna show up in the middle of it. Now Satan will tell you, you're by yourself. You can't endure this. But if you're standing in the gospel of peace, you stand strong. He put stones and briars and doubts and discouragement in your shoes. He can destroy your peace immediately. You've never been miserable till you're in the middle of a football game and you got a rock in your shoe. Do you know how hard it is to play football with a rock in your shoe? Because you don't have any peace about it. The devil's going to put rocks in your shoes as a Christian. Not because of a lack of integrity. Not because of a lack of purity, but because of a lack of tranquility. Many of us fall. Some sickness, some disappointment, some financial reverse, some wayward child, and we lose our peace. You put on those shoes of peace, you can stand in a firm place. Because if you don't, you'll slip and you will fall. How many times has the pastor I've asked answered that proverbial question, where was God when my son was in that wreck? And I always say the same thing. He's the same place he was when his son was on the cross. He's going to be with you. That's the peace you can count on. But you don't understand my... No, I don't care what's happening. You can stand on that peace. You do this long enough, and you walk in enough rooms where folks are dying, and you understand those who have peace in their life. Because they just press on, regardless of what they're dealing with. One final thing. The next piece of armor is the shield of faith. Satan is a liar and a thief, and he prowls around seeking to devour those whom he may. He shoots fiery darts all the time. In the soldiers' day, darts were flying everywhere, usually arrows dipped in burning oil, and shot at them, or shot at their homes or their forts because they could start a fire. The shield protected soldiers from those flaming darts. If I take the shield of faith, why do I need a shield of faith? What's Satan's attack? Satan's attack is going to be doubt. When you're living for him, his fiery dart is going to be doubt and discouragement to help eliminate your tranquility. He uses lust, so I put on purity. He uses discouragement, so I put on tranquility. And now the shield of faith is certainty. I need integrity, I need purity, I need tranquility, but I need certainty. And the certainty is that the shield will hold. The errors are coming. He is a liar and a deceiver. And of course, we end up with the helmet and the sword. One protects and the other defends. A warrior would use his helmet to protect his head. What would that do? If his head got wounded, everything else was down. Every time I read about a helmet, I think about growing up and playing football in Mississippi back before the big war. And I told my son, not all of our helmets had the bar across the front. Some of them didn't have anything but the helmet. And Daddy said, well, and Richie says, Daddy, your helmets were leather and you carried them in your pocket. That's not true. But I had a rod across the front of my, and then I broke my nose. And for the first time in history, a helmet for the Starkville Yellow Jackets got a cage on it. Once I got that cage on my face, it was a bunch of bars. Man, I became something awesome. I'd hit anybody. Because in our day, we used forearms a lot, and they throw forearms at you, but boy, hitting my helmet, it hurt them. Because the helmet gave me strength. The sword, that's the word of God. Now listen close to me. When Jesus dealt with temptation, he used the sword. He used the word of God. I said in the 8:30 service, most of us have memorized the words to achy, breaky heart. You lie about that, you lie about a lot of other stuff. It's not you got honky-tonk angels or one of those songs running through your mind, but not many of us memorize scripture. The best way to deal with Satan's attack is the truth of God's word. I tell kids all the time, if you give up memorizing scripture because you think you're too old to do that, you're going to be stunned. But you listen close to me. When you have the word of God in your heart, it'll keep coming back. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. If the only word you got in your heart is achy, breaky heart, you're probably not going to win. And let me close by saying, you're going to have to battle. Whether you like it or not, there's a war going on. I told you to get your armor straight, but I'm also telling you, realize that you're in a fight. Fight for your family. Fight for our country. Fight for the morals in which your kids are being raised in. Fight for them. They're important enough to fight for them. I'd love to see you young men walk in with these little girls. I'm going to tell you what. If you have not learned to fight to protect your daughter, you'll learn to sooner or later. First time you have some snotty-nosed kid coming to the door to take her out for a date, you're going to say, man. I used to tell when a guy dated my daughter, I'd say, son, I need to tell you something before y'all leave. I don't mind going back to prison. take care of my daughter. Get ready for a fight. Most of you know that between college and seminary, I coached high school football. And I was coaching in Leesburg, Florida, down in the center part of the state of Florida, and we were about to play our biggest rival. We were 6-0. We had not lost a ball game, and I was a defensive coach. We'd only given up 21 points in 5 ball games. I mean, that's good. Anyway, I had 2 good linebackers, too. But anyway, Coach Lofton loved for me to give the pregame speech. So we'd go out and warm up and come back in the locker room and he'd give his last words and then I'd get up and give a speech and we'd go out the door. But I never forget the year we played Wildwood. Our kids just didn't take it seriously. They clowned around all week and they were popping each other with towels. And Coach Lofton was an old Georgia Bulldog who had played for Wally Butts and he hated that kind of behavior. So he told me at staff meeting on Thursday, you're giving a pep talk tomorrow. He said, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to slam the door and all the coaches go down the field and just be you and the team in the room and you give the best speech you got. Well, I was ready. Man, you wouldn't believe how intense I could get. I know you don't believe this, but I was intense. That's a lot deeper than intense. I was intense. And we went out and shut that door, and my speech was awesome. I can't believe it. I threw kids against lockers. I threw helmets on the floor, and I said, you guys, this is the most important game we've played. You're going to play hard. And I didn't know that the custodian, when we went out, shut the door and locked it and dropped one of those long boards in those two things that hung on the outside, and the door opened against those. I didn't know he'd done that. I gave a fiery speech. I remember my last line. Are you guys ready to fight? Yes, sir. I said, let's go. And we couldn't get out the door. You know what Christians often do? They lock themselves in the dressing room and don't understand they're going to have to fight when they go out that door. This is the easiest place in the world to love Jesus. Out there is the hardest place in the world to love Jesus. Put on the armor so you can fight. And then fight with all you got. That's what this book says. This book never lies. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Now listen close. We've talked about weapons of warfare, but you know where it all starts? It starts with a vital relationship with Christ, knowing His grace, growing in that grace, understanding the cost of that grace, and walking in that grace, changing your behavior, doing it differently. Many of you here haven't done that. Some of you have never followed Christ in baptism. Some of you have not given your heart to Him. Some of you have given your heart to Him, but you hadn't girded up for battle. You hadn't gotten dressed for the fight. So listen closely to me. If you're in this place and you know without a shadow of a doubt that purity or integrity or peace is not a part of your life because you've got other plans and you're depending on other things. Maybe this morning would be a good time to say, Lord, I need to repent. I need to take seriously the war I'm in, and I need to gird myself for that battle. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're one of those who would say, you know, I'm not sure I'm even equipped to fight this war you're talking about. I'm not sure about my relationship with Christ. I'm not sure about all those pieces of armor. And I'd like for God to help me get where I belong. If you're here and that's your prayer this morning, would you just quietly where you are, lift your hand up and say, man, that's me. I need God to work in areas of my life that I find hard confessing. Help me, O Lord, to be all I'm supposed to be. Maybe you'd make a decision to follow Christ and you need to pray a prayer like this. Father, I'm not sure I even belong to you. I'd like to confess my sin and ask you to come into my heart. I'd like to get saved this morning because there is a fight and I want to be in it in your strength. Father, you know who's here and who's fighting and who's prepared to fight. And you know what they need to learn. Continue to walk through their lives is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.